are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. All government cares about
they you. Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to, hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you got it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we love you for it. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Time for Awakening Media. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program, from 1 to 3, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones on Mondays and Wednesdays. On Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Following that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And every Monday, every first and third Monday, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 9, from 8 to 10. And then I apologize. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. And then on Thursdays, us on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's right, it's not me, it's Sister POC. And her program, once again, is Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening. Last night, they had on my good brother and friend, Dr. Renoka Rashidi. I didn't get a chance to hear him, but I heard the rest of the program. And once again, I know it was an outstanding program. And then every Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media, Monday through Friday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Other programming and things I promote here is
We Buy Black. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. 365. Oh, excuse me. See, I got this thing here, the phone call here, and everything like that. Everything is coming at me in such an awkward way. I apologize. Apologize to the people that just called that I hung up on. Oh, man. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at We Buy Black. And believe me, the products are produced by us. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. So if you are in the Atlanta area, you can get those products firsthand at We Buy Black. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taihembe, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani is taking a group to South Africa in November, November 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. Go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org to see if you can fit that into your schedule and budget. Also, too, at the end of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana, West Africa. He's taking brothers and sisters back to Ghana. It's a shorter tour, so I'm quite sure it might be more economical for you. You need to check that out. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani. Oh, the number to call? Yes. Let me give you the number to call if that's what you want to do right quick. The number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta. They have it all for you. They got furniture. They got clothing, art figurines. They got Kwanzaa kits. They even have the Nagast. The Nagast, Nagast.com. The black shoes, you know, the red, black, and Grisha. Yes, Nagast. They have them there at the Shrine. But more importantly, they have books. They have books. It's a cultural center and bookstore. They have books. And if they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. Also, too, they have a course every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30 of Know Thyself, the Black History class of Know Thyself, from 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturdays. But if you can't attend that, then you would like to probably get that information so you can contact the Shrine about their multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, this is the most extensive multimedia library of its kind. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it has 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore is right across from We Buy Black. They got the kiosk, and the Medu Bookstore is right there in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore, the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And they're open at the Greenbrier Mall from Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9, and on Sunday from 12 to 6. So check them out. Another bookstore I promote, of course, is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. And at the Black Dot, they're going to be having a festival in Lithonia. That's right. The Black Dot Cultural Center has a Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival Saturday, September 28th. Free event from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Free food, live music, art, poetry, speakers, and so much more. It's an outstanding cultural event. I'm glad my good brother is doing it, and I want to be a part of it, so I'll definitely will be there. So check out the Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival, Saturday, September 28th, from 12 to 8 p.m. in Lithonia, right there on Main Street in Lithonia. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Check out the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. So you need to dial this number or go online and dial this or go online or dial this number, 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cafe Ulu, open Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we have coffee located in Atlanta at 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. And I got some things to say about Cafe Ulu at a different time and get some people on to talk about it. But go online, cafeulu.com. Go online to usliftingus.com. Excuse me. Akhavan Institute, brothers and sisters, our good brother, our good bubble Baba Marudi has been helping to educate our brothers and sisters, turning our young men and women into warriors that we need so we can once again step back on the stage of human history as free and proud and productive people. But he needs help. He needs help. So I'm asking you, our listeners, to go to Akhavan Institute, donate some money. You can write a check or money order out to Akhavan Institute at the P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That is Akhavan Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Or if you got PayPal or Cash App, put in a $ Yah, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your contributions. Also, too, for Baba Baruti, there is the Warrior Conference that is going to be tomorrow. That's going to be tomorrow. And look forward to it. African Warriors Men Day Celebration. It's a lecture titled Manhood, Warriorhood, and Character, followed by a question and answer period tomorrow at 7 p.m. at Akhavan Institute. So come and check it out. Once again, the number you can call is 404-753-2-7237. 404-753-7237. And at the same time, there's a Warriors Women's Day event is held in conjunction at the same time by Sister Yah on that day. So please check it out. Also, too, see if you can get a hold of Baba Baruti's book, To Educate a People. He has a course that he's going to have, and the course begins September 18th. Registration is ongoing. The course will be on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a five-week online course to educate a people. And then Sister Yah also has a womanhood, quarterly womanhood discussion topic, motherhood. And that's going to be Sunday, October 27th, 2019, from 5 to 7 p.m., October 27th. So check those things out. That's going to be great. Sister Gabby, my good Sister Gabby in Haiti, in the northeastern portion of Haiti. And please go online to check her out at sonje-ayiti.org, sonje-haiti.org, and see the great work that she is doing in the rural area of Haiti, or better, as they usually call it, Haiti. But really, she deserves to be supported, and the outstanding work that she is doing with education, the chicken farm that she has, and other great things that are happening. So, Black Talk Radio Project, Brother Scotty Reed, who is, of course, with Black Talk Radio Network, which Time for an Awakening is on, and which this program is on. So the Black Talk Radio parent is our parent company. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Even on that page, scroll down on the right-hand side, you'll see where it says hit that gold donate button and make your contributions to the Black Talk Radio Network Project 2019 Media Fund. The Enye Sasim, I haven't did Enye Sasim, of course. I've been gone over a week, so we got a lot of good catching up to do. That's one thing about the Enye Sasim. Some just some great stuff. I mean, a lot of them are gems, and so we're going to go over a number of them today. And because I know Wednesday, this Wednesday, of course, is September 11th, or as the saying goes, 9/11. And once again, my annual 9/11 program. In fact, this is going to be titled 9/11. The truth, let the truth be told. 9/11, let the truth be told. Because believe me, y'all, this is ridiculous. You know, it is ridiculous. But it's in keeping with how the mindset of the European is. So I have, you know, I understand. So we're gonna have an outstanding program this Wednesday. I hope you can ask others to listen as well. I'm going to promote it, throw it out there, because we need to understand what happened. We need to understand how this government is, and even though probably a lot of us know it, but we just rather not think about it and go on with our mundane lives, you know, because you feel that, you know, I'm okay, you know. And I know that a lot of our people are suffering, but hey, that's their fate. You know, I'm fortunate. I was able to do this, that, or the other to be in the position I'm in. I got a good job. I got, you know, good benefits and so forth. The others, that's their fate in life. That's unfortunate. And of course, you must understand that is not our way. That is not the African way. Brother Oshie, we ain't in Africa. We ain't in America. I understand that. But you got to understand what America is about and what it has done to us and what it continues to do to us. So check out the program on Wednesday, 9/11, Let the Truth Be Told. The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Got some good gems for him. I'm going to read a few. Probably will take us up to almost the top of the hour, but hey. Join us. August 31st, Negroes pay for what they want and beg for what they need. Kelly Miller. We must equip forthcoming generations with a working intelligence so that they can recognize and dismiss Negroes and Negroettes when they hear them, especially those who cry the blues of and for others and profit from the crumbs gained from our confusion at our own expense. Indeed, the Negro and Negroette should be, Negroettes should be important concepts in our vocabulary, for they mask those among us who grow from their knees, those of us who believe that crawling is fine as long as they get the biggest crumbs. The question should not be, shouldn't you crawl before you walk? Instead, the question is, how long must you crawl before you stand up and walk like a man or a woman? How long must your four limbs be your mode of transportation before you recognize that two will be more efficiently and effectively do the job? Affirm. I recognize and dismiss Negro and Negroettes when I hear them. Affirm. I recognize and dismiss Negroes and Negroettes when I hear them. September 1st. The psychobiology eugenics movement demands the immediate attention of African scholars if the culture is to survive and liberate itself. Iva Carruthers. Genocide, the permanent killing of a people's genetic line, must be defined in the context of war. War is inherent in any attempt to erase a people from memory. Genocide globally follows the European cultural aceli. It is simply the operational framework through which they operate to win war, which for them is to completely destroy another people. Mass destruction guarantees the obliteration of a group's cultural base, because to commit historicide against a people or destroy their sense of self or conscious existence caused them to willingly facilitate their own genocide. Europeans are fully cognizant that their racial insecurities have firmly placed them on a global offensive. They have no hesitation in taking whatever steps are required to make them, in their mind's eye, supreme gods in this reality. Affirm, I acknowledge genocide as war. Affirm, I acknowledge genocide as war. And our problem, of course, is that we don't believe many of our people, because we don't believe that we've been warred upon. September 3rd. Leadership and security are basically incompatible. Kwame Ture and Charles Hamilton. Leadership requires knowledge and consciousness, and knowledge and consciousness by default requires action. Knowledge for Africans in this anti-African reality is basically consciousness of others' fear and hatred disguised as superiority. It is an awareness that we are not and should not have no desire to be their family. Therefore, for Africans to truly be acknowledgeable is for us to know that there can be no security for us in another person's house, in another's house. Although built with death, domination, and destruction, it is their house, not ours. Let me repeat. Although it was built with death, domination, and destruction, it is their house, not ours. What we have in their house, in the end, is owned and controlled by them. We are simply unwanted guests, no matter how formidable, indispensable, who have been allowed to accumulate various amounts of trivia and trinkets in order to help facilitate their further empowerment over us and keep us from recognizing their oppression of us. Security requires us to have our own house, our own nation, fully empowered to pursue and defend our interests. However, at this moment, if we are to be a true leaders among African people, we must relinquish the idea that we can become secure enough in the house of our enemy to speak our minds and fully act on those thoughts. For such thoughts will naturally reverse our permanently disposed position in that social order. It is only logical that there is no security for revolutionaries in the house of those they seek to remove from power over them. No destroyer will willfully embrace his or her own destruction. Affirm, I seek no security in this reality. I work to liberate myself from it. Affirm, I seek no security in this reality. I work to liberate myself from it. That's why this program does what it does every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. September 4th. Time only dilutes the conviction of the weak. Time only dilutes the convictions of the weak. Obeungo. Africans subintegrated into European culture have been psychologically traumatized by a split personality that goes far beyond any veil which makes us question whether we are Africans or American. We have been cursed by a tearing away of our spirit from our person. And under the unrelenting assault of an anti-African reality, this has created havoc in individualized Africans' mind, totally disconnected from the truth of our ancestors and the justice they demand for their descendants. Spirit and mind are one for Africans. I repeat, spirit and mind are one for Africans. Spirit not only brings African people into an awareness of our origins and humanity, but it also connects us with our personal responsibilities to rebuilding of the African world. Disconnected from spirit, Africans become frightened, other-directed individuals fraught with the same psychopathic apprehensions as their destroyers. We find ourselves being drawn deeper and deeper into a downward spiral, abyss, a spiraling abyss of despiritualized whiteness. There are many questions we need to have answered about this mind-spirit disconnect and the process of reconnection that wars must go through if we are ever going to be able to bring our creator-given talents in line with our true power. Affirm at every opportunity I call on the strength of our ancestors. Affirm at every opportunity I call on the strength of our ancestors. September 6th. There is a debt to the Negro people which America can never repay. Sojourner Truth. Given their inevitable fall, Europeans' greatest hope is that they can keep us mesmerized by the imagination of their fairy tale future. It is a fiction where we believe they will last forever as a significant gods and goddesses, as unrivaled masters of the universe. If we slip and fall completely asleep in this nightmare, then they can continue to enjoy toying with us as their infantile prey as they fall. They do not want to be singled out before humanity for what they are. They fear the consequences of justice more than anything else. Regardless, subconsciously they recognize that they cannot bring correctness to what they have done. They cannot make amends for what they have done and continue to do without removing themselves from existence. Their ongoing crimes against the universe are beyond apology or any reparations that they have power to grant. Sadly, most of the non-European people of the world have been effectively convinced that what Europeans have done and are doing to them was and is necessary for the introduction of a greater, more liberated sense of humanity to this planet. Therefore, they've conceived of their destruction as justifiable and forgivable. For centuries, Europeans have been about the business of making themselves into the image of whatever should be they want to be. They have accomplished this fate with a remarkable degree of success. Of course, if they were actually how they portray themselves, then they truly would be gods. Affirm, I do not conceive of our destruction as justifiable or forgivable. Affirm, I do not conceive of our destruction as justifiable or forgivable. September 7th. Education for struggle has a consciousness-raising function for African people. This facet of education tells us who we are, who the enemy is, what he is doing to us, when to fight, when to stop fighting, what to struggle for, and what from the struggle we must take. Janice Hale. We have been instructed to create priesthoods formed from collections of our children who have been placed under our knowledgeable direct tutelage so they can best be trained to do what African people need to do to return to power. We have been told to watch our children and see what characteristics and talents they naturally have, so we will know what to do with each of them individually into training them. We especially need warriors. So first, we have to identify those personality traits which have a high degree have a tendency to produce the righteous warrior spirit in adulthood. There are several we must consider in this search. We must look at those children who will fight, regardless of opponent, to correct wrong or stop abuse, and not just for self or things. We must also look for those who can work alone without being lonely or antisocial. These children must also be accepting of an ability to handle the kind of struggle that strains the mind and emotions. And equally important, we must examine what we know of our youth to find those who will be able to keep what should not be told a secret. This is a start to return to power. Affirm, I am building a priesthood of warriors. Affirm, I am building a priesthood of warriors. September 8th. The real servant of the people must live among them, think with them, feel for them, and die for them. Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Arrogance is a quality found in those who believe they are naturally superior to others. In the mind of the arrogant, they have no equal. They may be individuals who can better them when they happen to not be at their best, but their paranoia and egotism leads them to feel that they have no true rivals. Arrogance is an attitude taken by individuals and people who raise as a result of belittling and destroying others, and define the effect of that lessening and negation of those others has the greatest evidence of their superiority. It is a bullying mentality. Arrogance is a highly offensive vice. So, not being arrogant should be an integral part of the character of the African warrior. Humility, expressed first toward one's own people and then others as they earn it. I repeat that. Humility, expressed first towards one's own people and then to others as they earn it, is the warrior's way. However, recognize that it is not traditional African society and the tenets of that time and place that do not unqualifyingly apply within this cultural context. The measure of the quality of an African character cannot be of how altruistically one treats a stranger, but how well one treats those among us or his own people who deserve this heightened level of respect. In this anti-African, highly disrespectful, predatory prey cultural context, humility for strangers must come only as they earn it. Affirm, I am a real servant of the people. Affirm, I am a real servant of African people. Today, September 9th, the best way to boycott is to build your own. The best way to boycott is to build your own. Chuck D. Stop teaching our children about what Europeans did to us. They are still doing it. Either lesson is insufficient without the other. It is only when our children have a complete understanding from first contact to date that they realize what they have to do. Like everyone else, not in awe of the Europeans' disingenuousness. No other people beg for inclusion. They build their own and then, from a position of power, demand whatever it is that they want from the collective global pot. Even if what gains are sought are won, boycotting without having our own is only a temporary solution because we have not altered the relationship of power. We have not changed who has the power to decide what we can and cannot do or have. Where is the threat in a disunified front? Why would others fear a monetary financial loss from those dependent on them for all their goods? All they need to do is adjust the prices after the dispute is over to recoup the losses. How does it hurt a family of merchandise dealers if one son is given an economic advantage because another is no longer patronized? The benefits still accrue to that family. Successfully boycotting others does not give us power. It only gives us access to what someone else has or owns. Boycotting is only an exercise of power when it incites those in rebellion to build even better for themselves what they are denied and to keep it completely under their control. Affirm, I'm building our own. Affirm, I am building our own. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Give us a call. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let me read this as I've been reading this for the last few times. And I'll continue to do so because I think what I'm trying to get off, what I'm trying to imply and or implore or trying to make sure that you understand is that as African people, there should be and must be a liberating mind and liberating mindset. And that liberating mindset understand that we need to be collective, that we need to come together. This is Kwame Nkrumah, the freedom speech of 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that with a deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge, not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won by the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. Kwame Nkrumah. The Freedom Speech, 1961. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Prophetic words. That's why I read them. They're prophetic words. It's deep. I'm glad to be back. After the top of the hour, we're going to talk about menticide, which is the deliberate attempt to destroy our people's minds. But I'm going to talk a little bit, got a few minutes before the top of the hour, about my trip to Milwaukee. Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters, an organization that I was one of the founding members of back in the day. We were celebrating our 40th anniversary as an organization. We're also part of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. We'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary next year in Hartford, Connecticut, and I will definitely be there. I've been involved in the international and the brotherhood all this time as I was a firefighter, and still, because to me, it's very important that we try to help people understand that the fire service is a public job, that the city should reflect its population. It's a damn shame that if you have a city that's 40, 50%, 60% us, but your fire department is 80, 90% Caucasian male. That's taxation without representation. There's something fundamentally wrong with that picture. And that is what is happening in Milwaukee at present. So even though we were celebrating, we're also dealing with some truths about our existence. And so I'm hoping that the prospects of a new mayor, my good brother, Brother Brother Everett Crowcroft, who is now on the Fire and Police Commission, who's also a former president of the Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters. I know him. I know his heart. I know he'll do. He'll fight. And believe me, So it's going to be interesting to see how things are progressing. I know that that should be one of the issues. So I was talking with my good friend, Sister Lena Taylor, who was a state senator in Milwaukee, well, state senator of Wisconsin, representing Milwaukee. And she's going to challenge the Caucasian Tom Barrett, the mayor of Milwaukee. She's running for mayor, and I support her totally. She knows the issues. Because what was interesting about Barrett, Barrett used to be a congressperson. He was a congressperson, and he wanted to run for governor. There was a brother who was in a position as acting mayor. And so he told the brother, you support me for governor, they're Democrats, and I'll support you for mayor. Brother said, for sure, you know, and so he lost. He lost his bid for governor. But then he told the brother, he said, you know, I have been approached and positioned to run for mayor. So I'm sorry, I can't support you. I'm going to run for mayor. The so-called powers that be, the Caucasians who really run Milwaukee, regardless of whatever the population could be. They have, you know, I've been petitioned to run for mayor. And that's what happened. And so he won, and he's been in a position ever since. It's been, I don't know, almost 16 years. And the fire service, the numbers have been going down for many years. And so now, we're less than 10% of the Milwaukee Fire Department. That's right. We're 40% when you put in the other people of color, so to speak, if you want to use that term, almost 60, over 60% of the population of the city of Milwaukee. But yet the fire department is damn near 90% Caucasian. As I say, there's something fundamentally wrong with that. That's taxation without representation, because the fire service should reflect the city it serves. But it was a great night, a great tribute to the brothers and sisters who helped start that organization. Oh, we got a caller. I'm going to take this caller before before we take a break. 646-646, good morning.
Good, Brother Ochi. I see you back from Milwaukee, man. How was your trip?
It was great. Yes, I did. It was a good trip. When I got into Milwaukee that Friday, that weekend, the high school I went to was having a reunion. 50 years, but, you know, and it was good to see many people who I hadn't seen in almost 50 years. You know, really, my reunion is...
I hope you was in full African garb.
Well, you know me, brother, for sure. Because that's how I roll.
The only way, you know, whenever you do that, and the Negroes see you in full African garb splendor, they basically lose their mind.
One sister asked me, says, "You know why are you dressed like this?" I said, "This is who I am. I'm an African." You know, because everybody else had a little, you know. Their suit and ties on. Some had little dinner jackets, and some had, you know, like makeshift looking tuxedos, and so, and that's cool. But
just show you how sick the Negro is and how integrated he is into someone else's culture, and don't give a damn honestly about its own.
Yeah,
that's why I always see Negro sick.
Yeah,
he love the white man, and he love him African self. Because he don't know he African. Don't want to be African.
Exactly.
Don't see the world as an African.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing to be dressed in your traditional
yes, it is.
African.
I know for me, Jay, it is. And I feel good. I feel and good when know, I put on a grand boobah. I feel good when I put on a kufi. I feel good when I put my licky beads around my neck. I feel great. I feel empowered.
I went to a funeral one time in full African garb. Mm-hmm. Them Negroes in there basically lost their mind. I'm like, you know, hey, this is what I represent.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the person that you had in the coffin, he wasn't in African garb. And that's what his spirit was.
Oh.
So I'm going to represent him.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah.
But I'm glad, brother, that you had the opportunity to represent, man, because we got to represent who we are culturally, man. That may be the only thing that may save us in this absolute madness, because this thing ain't getting no better, man.
Oh, no, it's not going to get any better, please. It's spiraling. It's going to get much worse.
Yeah.
It's going to get much worse.
And that's bad.
Yeah.
Because in all honesty, if this devil would just act like a basic human being and not be such a filthy, greedy bastard that he is, the world could be a hell of a place, man.
Well,
imagine if the Yoruba acted like he had some semblance of a soul, what the world could probably be like.
Well, you know, because of his evolutionary development, it is not in his DNA to do so. He evolved being selfish and greedy. He evolved being territorial. He evolved being a murderous, you know. So that doesn't change. And with the moves of the West on other parts of the world, show us that it's not going to change, you know.
But have you noticed that everything wicked on the planet is foundationally comes from the Yoruba? Do you know that when you characterize, in all honesty, the Yoruba and your inception into meeting him, your first, you know, time dealing with this individual, it's never been life-giving? If someone was to say to describe a Yoruba, I would have to say a murderer.
Yeah.
A thief, a liar. I can't say anything about him that's life-giving because he hasn't acted in that way towards our people. You know, and like I was telling a young brother the other day, I said, do you really want to understand the white man? Just read what he did to our people during slavery. That's all you got to do. Just read that. And that'll give you who and what the no good devil is.
Yeah.
And don't let nobody tell you otherwise. Because you know what the sad thing is? 80% of our people, and this is real, have no idea of what this Yoruba devil, no good C word, I bite my tongue not to say
exactly. Exactly. I know, me too. We got to do it, though, Jay.
I've done that. 80% of our people don't even have a clue on the type of brutality, the type of things that this white man has done to us. And that's why I tell any sister, if you know your history, you would never lay down with a white man. You would never lay down with that dog. Never. Because you don't know your history and you don't have no context of history and you don't have no understanding of history, you would lay down dog.
Well, you know, we're also by our nature, you know, we're very giving people and forgiving people.
Yeah.
You know, by our nature, they are not. You know, they are not.
I'm going to forgive you with a burning necktie if I could. I also wanted to say right quick, let's stand up and salute our beautiful brother, Robert Mugabe.
Yes.
Let's never forget that brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's put him where he belongs. And
yeah,
he
the lion. The old lion.
Robert Mugabe, he was a great African. And don't never let no white man tell you he was anything other than a great African. Did he make some mistakes? Yes, like we all do. But his agenda was to claim the land for African people and to have African people have control of their resources and move forward. Now, what we should do is we should use Mugabe as a lesson as we move forward to reclaim the land. And I think that's one of the things that they have done a little better in South Africa in reclaiming the land, is making sure that people are the ones who get the land.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, Jay. Say that again, because you broke up on me.
I'm saying, in South Africa, the one thing that they've done different than Mugabe was give the land to people who could till the land, who knew
right.
how to cultivate the
right.
land and continue to grow on the land. That was the one mistake that Mugabe did.
Right.
But hey, listen, the bottom line is we all got to learn. And you know, I haven't really done too much investigation on what's going on in South Africa with the Nigerians and South Africans. But I know it's basically about the economics. You know what I mean? I know it also has to do with the disrespect that the Nigerians have shown the African.
But it also plays into the divide that is there amongst our people, you know. And I know that the Nigerians are coming there well-trained for positions that are offered where original South Africans may not be as well-educated and prepared to take those positions. So there's a lot of envy and jealousy and hatred. And, of course, they are literally killing foreigners, not just Nigerians, but Ghanaians and others. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more conversation. You stay with us and you join us. And of course, you know the number to call. The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective. You'll be right back. We'll be right back with you.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A silk on princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a punch, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much. It's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night.
Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me. Calm. Close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because deep hate, the places you play and where you stay, looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turn stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man.
What's up, fool?
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creel and Raheem, man?
They lay upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Let's check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got robbed, man.
Not what?
Again, she got hurt.
What is happening?
What's free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster
the Flash and the Furious Five.
Is that a gang?
No.
Shut up!
I don't
hear your mouth. Shut up! What's the problem? You the problem. You the problem. Yo, you ain't got to get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car. Why is it so bad? You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Monday through Friday, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives with me as your host, Brother Oshie. And then on Monday and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m.
on Friday. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then Revive with Sister PLC on Sunday from 11 to 1. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. That was the message. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. That's the issue. That's one of the baddest raps to me ever. Ever. We're talking about the mind, menticide. I know Brother Franklin Jones talks about that all the time, and very well he should. You know, we're going to immerse ourselves in that conversation. We have a caller right now. I'm going to get to the caller. 602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey.
Glad to have you back with Brother.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Great,
brother.
Good.
Just want to just piggyback a little bit on what Jay had spoken about regarding Mugabe. You know, Mugabe turned out to be the hero in this instance, in spite of them cooing him last year, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions then were better than the conditions now.
Yes.
So they end up losing, you know, the leadership that took over from them, because I guess they were thinking that the white folks were going to ease up on them, which didn't happen. You know, to some degree, I think it's going to take some form of dictatorship to correct the problems in Africa.
You know, let me say this.
Democracy.
Let me say this. The hell with democracy.
Exactly.
We need a council. We need a cadre of leadership. Or a benevolent dictator. If you want to find a benevolent dictator, I think probably the closest model is Muammar Gaddafi. He was a benevolent dictator. There's no doubt about it that the Libyan people, I ain't talking about all that bull that the Western press threw out there, because that was a lie. The Libyan people love Muammar Gaddafi. He provided for them. He utilized the wealth, not to enrich. Yes, of course he was rich in his son. But no, the Libyan people benefited from the oil wealth of Libya. And because he was developing a currency for Africa, a gold dinar, that's why they took him out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was, and so Africa needs that kind of model. More importantly, I would say a cadre of leadership of African men and women as a council to look over the continent of Africa and develop the continent of Africa. Africa needs infrastructure. Africa needs roads, highways, sewage systems, water systems, energy systems, telecommunications. Africa needs all of that. And what Africa has, other countries want. As Dr. John Henry Clark would say, think they can't do without, and they don't want to damn it pay for. They rip us off. But Africa has it. And so Africa can demand from anybody, say, you want this? This is what we want.
Exactly. Because they use that democracy. You see, they use the democracy as a divisive tool amongst our people in Africa.
Man, hell with democracy.
Tribal groups.
Yes.
Yes. And they sponsor each group.
Yes.
Everybody fighting amongst themselves
for power. Exactly.
So it can't work. And one more thing, referring to what's going on in South Africa. So I heard Malema came out with a statement, and he said, look, what is going on in South Africa is white monopoly capital is the one doing the hiring in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they are hiring foreign nationals, paying them at a cheaper rate.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they do, they hire them, and then they turn around and say, oh, look, you see what's going on?
Right, they're taking your jobs.
Taking the jobs.
Right.
They're the ones giving out the damn jobs.
Right.
So
right.
They are the ones who are sponsoring the unrest. But we have to expect that, because as Africa is beginning to move together as one unit, they are going to pull out all stops. So you're going to see all kind of unrest taking place, because they have to destabilize it. So as long as we are aware of that,
yes,
we can be, you know, ready for it, because they're not going to just sit idly by and let us just do what the hell we're doing. So
right.
That is to be expected. Anyway, good brother, thank you, and glad to have you back. Thank you.
Oh, man, thank you, Marcus, and it's good to be back, brother. Don't forget to listen to Wednesday's program on 9/11, Let the Truth Be Told. Okay? And you ask others to listen as well and call in.
Okay, good brother.
Thank you, brother Marcus. Thank you.
All right.
You know, I played the message because it is about the mind. That what you've seen happening, and as you visualize that the message, which is, like I said, is one of my favorite raps of all time. But what you see happening is what is happening in reality to this day, even though it's a long time ago. And it is the mental side that we're talking about. Just as Brother Marcus talked about the divisions in Africa, the divide and conquer that Europeans consistently implement on our people. It all is a part of the mental-cidal process. The term menticide was coined by Dr. Bobby Wright. And if you've listened to this program, you know how deeply I have an affection for Dr. Bobby Wright. You know, having the opportunity to hear him before he passed. In Milwaukee, they had just built the Hyatt Regency Hotel downtown. And ironically, one of the first events that happened, well, there were two events that weekend. One was the Hal Jackson's Talented Teens. And I was a judge. But also that weekend was the Black Political Convention. I met Ron Daniels, a few other people. Black Political Convention. And the banquet speaker was Dr. Bobby Wright. And I had the opportunity to be there and to listen to him. In fact, when he talked about menticide, he used an analogy. He said, you're watching the college basketball. Again, you're watching Notre Dame against whoever. And you're listening to the announcer. And the announcer says, you know, they rebound the ball. Here come the Irish. Here come the Irish. And you got five brothers on the court. Come on, here come the Irish. In fact, three of them probably got Irish names. O'Neill, McNeil, you know, O'Shaughnessy. Here come the Irish. Menticide. A deliberate destroying a people's mind and memory. Because it is through the mind that you reclaim who you are. It is through the mind that you reclaim your culture, your history, and your traditions. Because if your mind is not right, just as I was saying to Jay, yeah, I wear, if you know me, you know I'm wearing African clothes, especially at a bigger social event. I don't give a damn how they're supposed to be dressed. If it's an all-black affair, I'm wearing all-black African clothes. If all-white affair, I'll wear all-white African clothes. Whatever it is. I'm Grand Boobah down. I'm Daishiki down. I got a kufi on. I don't advocate that for all of our people. I don't advocate because I changed my name, a name change for our people. I promote and advocate seriously a mind change. Because once your mind is right, everything else will fall into place. Menticide. Here's a piece by Dr. Bobby Wright. Then I'm going to read an article by my good brother Conrad Worrell from the Chicago Crusader magazine in a tribute to Bobby Wright. Menticide.
Sign up for those kind words. Habari Ghani brothers and sisters, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. There was a great deal of feeling that I'd be here tonight in Seattle. In spite of all the jokes I make about it, I have a long history with some of the people here in Seattle. For a long time, Zakiya here, I remember Zakiya as a very young person, a very young student. who came into our independent school in the 1960s. And out of that school, we lost 17 students who were her classmates, 17 young black brothers who were students of mine, Fred Hampton probably being the most famous one. So I stand in blood before you, and I take that very seriously. I'm a very feeling person. I have a very great deal of love for black people, because unlike most blacks who you read about and hear about, I've never experienced all those negative things from black people. I've been extremely well loved throughout my life. I've never had all the things that happened to me that have happened to, that I read about happening to other black people. And so I've dedicated my life to just one objective, and that is to assist in the liberation of the minds of black people, and therefore the liberation then of their bodies. That is my sole reason for being. And it is the only reason, of course, that I would appear before you tonight. And I would hope that we would have a chance to really understand one another. Most certainly I would say things that will alienate some of you because of your personal lifestyle. That is not my intent. I have no fight with black people. I never in my life have used words like Tom. I never in my life have used words like nigger. I'm not that type of person. I have one enemy, and that enemy is the white race. No other enemies do I have. And therefore, I'm at total war with that enemy, the enemy who has for 362 years waged unrelenting war against my people. And I have no time to have internal conflicts. I do take issue with brothers because of their political position, but it's not personal. It's a political position. And so with that being a background, I'd like to say to you that the most important thing that has happened to me was left out of the introduction, inadvertently. And that was the fact that I grew up, I was born and raised in an all-black town in Alabama. For the first 17 years of my life, I had all-black teachers, all-black role models, black people who loved me, who protected me, who raised me, who fed me, who nurtured me, and also who educated me. And I would like to say, as I say all the time, that there's a difference between education and training. And therefore, the difference between education and training, I'm fortunate because I was educated by black people and I was trained at the University of Chicago. Unfortunately, black people, as part of the Mill South process, black people are more impressed with the fact that I was trained at the University of Chicago than the fact that I was educated by black people in Alabama. And with that, I'm going to take a sort of different tag with men aside tonight because I'm going to lay it in some ways that all of us can sort of understand, and although we may lick. This will be published in about 3 weeks. In about 3 weeks, Third World Press will publish what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. And I'm just going to introduce it, and you'll have to get the publication from Third World Press, and it will be out here. I would also like to say to Karumu and all the other brothers and sisters who I worked with over the years that I really appreciate being here and being loved so by them. I mean, there have been many times I've been places which my weapon was not as good as it was tonight. And in fact, there was a time when I had to almost run out of the place. They were always stood tall and stood behind me. Tonight I'm going to talk about menticide. And I'll start by telling you one of the problems in talking about a theory. One of the most difficult tasks of a black scholar, one of the most difficult tasks of a black person who thinks, is to be able to analyze the influence of racism or racism on black behavior and attitudes, be able to do that analyzation, and at the same time escape the almost irresistible Western scholarship protective barrier. Western scholarship in the Western world, that is their protection. They have a barrier, and they call it scholarship. And it protects them so well that even when you begin to study racism, you end back up studying the victim, doing an analysis of their victims. That's what is happening. So there's no question that this analysis of the victim methodology has been a major scientific development of white scientists, because it effectively leads away from the cause of our condition, which is white pathology. It leads you away from that once you get into it, because the way the scholarship is set up. One of the results is that the position is usually taken that one should not even imply to the black masses our truly weak position for fear of immobilizing them. In other words, you shouldn't talk about all the conditions of blacks because you immobilize them, which are a condition which already exists. While others take the position that whites have power over blacks at all. Now this is due to the all-powerful but non-existent white concept of free will. Free will, which has us in all sort of trouble. All sort of trouble, this idea that you got free will. Namely, that people always have choices, and you have choices since you have free will. Therefore, you can be held responsible for your behavior. And that free will, of course, that I spoke to last night, that free will, what it leads to then, it leads to a great deal of negative behavior, and it leads to rugged individualism. Therefore, to give you a type of analysis, analogy, and I'm not trying to be humorous. I know many things I say are humorous, but I like to use analogies as African people have done throughout history. Is that the analogy I have is that whites have us fighting over deck chairs on the Titanic. Got us fighting over deck chairs on the Titanic while they have taken the lifeboats and gone. And gone. And some brothers and sisters want to argue on what class we're in. What class we're in. So we had a brother like Brother Wilson back at the University of Chicago, who's the head of the sociology department that I said last night, who wrote this book, The Decline and Significance of Race. Race is declining in significance, now it's class and economics. And of course, the mere fact that a brother is married to a white girl means that race declines every night in significance, especially when they go to bed. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm very aware of what happens when you expose the human personality to dangerous stimuli. I'm a very serious behavior scientist. I'm very aware of that. However, there comes a time when the risk of exposure is insignificant when compared to the alternative. And to paraphrase a type of mental health truth, which is a mental health truth, the greatest pathology in the world, the greatest sickness in the world, is for people to believe in something just because they wish it to be so. That's the greatest pathology you can have. For you to believe in something just because you wish it to be so. And that's what most of us are. For example, if you take suicide. Suicide. Let's deal with that for a minute because that's what the publication will be about. And I want to use that just to deliver this. In the not too distant past, suicide in the black community was virtually non-existent. In fact, when our comedians were really comedians, they used to joke about it. How can a black commit suicide jumping out of a basement window? Things like that, you know. The fact that the black committed suicide by attacking the policeman's club with his head. Things like that, you know. Somebody in my town where I grew up, if somebody come up talk about somebody kill himself, everybody be looking for who killed him. But that's a further understanding if you begin to do this analysis. One of the things I have to say right away, and then maybe this will give you some understanding of where I'm from, coming from. The most serious mistake you can make, along with that greatest pathology, the most serious mistake you can make is to utilize, try to use white definitions, to try to define and understand black phenomena, black behavior. The most serious thing. To use white definitions. He who defines rules. If you accept my definition of the world, I will rule you. And so you see, look here, we're in this science lab. No question about it. Look here. See, since I've been in school, they don't even add more stuff to that table. They weren't bad enough, hard enough as they are. Now they had something else they were talking about. Now, what they tell you, oh no, Dr. Wright, this is objective. This is objective. This is science. This is science. You know what science is? A group of white men and women getting in a room and say, this is the way the world is. If you disagree with us, we'll kill you or we'll flunk you. That's simple. So this is no more objective than anything else in the world. This table up here is some science and white people gotten together and said, this is science. Here's the definition of this, here's the definition of that, here's that. And let me tell you about definitions. They do not have to correspond to any reality. As long as they are useful in understanding some phenomena. That's the whole thing about science. Science does not have to deal with reality. Does not have to deal with a reality. Astronomy cannot prove anything. No one's been out there and touched a star. No one can, but they can infer. And then once you accept that definition, then you have a science called astronomy. Brothers and sisters got astrology. What sign are you? I knew that was some reason we couldn't get along. They even dropped that one on us. Astrology. What sign are you? And I had some students in the free school once to do a research. I want you all to get on the air, which is the subway. And I want you all to get on the air. And I want you all to where the blacks ride. Because, you know, unlike you all, most of you have not been to Chicago and got into a cultural shock. Because we got block after block, mile after mile, and then the black folks.
We got more black folks in two housing projects than you all got in the entire Northwest. I mean, so when I talk about black folks, I'm talking about black folks, you know. And we don't hear that. Who are we? Why are we here, you know? So I had them to get on the subway where all the blacks ride and pick up the newspapers and bring them back to class the exact way they brought. They picked them up on the air. The exact way they picked them up, bring them back to class. We're doing this research. Sure enough, every paper that they picked up on that subway, and I mean they picked them up, the papers there were about 10, 15 cents. Every paper they picked up was either turned to Ann Landers or turned to the astrology page. Astrology page. So right every day, if you notice, watch this. Whenever we get papers, that's how serious people, that's how they are menticide is programmed up. And menticide, as I told you, is defined, as the sister told you, is defined as the deliberate and systematic destruction of a group's mind, with the ultimate purpose being the extermination of that group. He who controls minds controls the hands. He who controls control the brain controls behavior. Very simple. Nothing complex about that. So you have blacks, if you look on the paper, they'll turn straight past the front page. Stop at Ann Landers, and then go to the astrology page, and then put the paper down. Put the paper down. And even men of you, I'm not serious here, carry on serious discussion about astrology. Now let's just deal with that mental process. How can you deal with astrology when they admit that Julius Caesar decided to put a month in? You know, here they screwed it up so much that we got February, 28 days. And by the way, that's our month. They gave us the shortest month in the year. And I'm making a suggestion here tonight, and I hope you carry it on. Let us start having in January 1st, because I'm getting tired of traveling for 30 days every year. Let us start in January 1st, I'm very serious, having Black History Year and White History Month, White History Week. Seriously. Let's stop Black History Month. Let's stop it all together. It's time to cut off the nonsense of this. Why should we study Black History 1 month out of a year and we black folks? That's menticide. You don't hear Italian month, history month. You don't hear Irish history month, Jewish history month. Number one, they ain't got no history. But anyway, you don't hear it. Yes, they do. Let me stop you. Yes, they do have history. Yes, they do.
Once again, brothers and sisters, welcome back. That was the voice of Dr. Bobby Wright, clinical psychologist of then the Garfield Park Mental Health Institute. Today, it is the Dr. Bobby Wright Mental Health Institute, south side of Chicago. I tell you, you know, I fell in love with Dr. Bobby Wright. I love his essay, The Psychopathic Racial Personality. If you haven't read it, you can go online to find it, or you can go to YouTube and he'll put in Dr. Bobby Wright. It's a lot of good information that he'll provide. But he passed too soon, that's for sure. Passed too soon. Dr. Conrad Wuerl, who was a friend of Dr. Bobby Wright, knew him very well. He wrote a piece in the Crusader, the Chicago Crusader, and paying tribute. Menticide, the ultimate threat to the black race. So many of the problems that African people face in the world today are due to the assault on our minds by those who captured us and removed significant numbers of us to the Western Hemisphere. This also included the mind damage caused by tampering with our African lands and culture on the continent of Africa. Most African people in America are aware that our minds were tampered with as a result of our forced capture and enslavement in America. The impact of this process is central to the international component of the reparations movement that we must focus on, and that is the repair of ourselves. At the same time, we demand reparations from the government and private corporations that benefited from our captivity and still benefit today. Examining and re-examining the contributions of the late Dr. Bobby Wright provides a significant source we can utilize in addressing our internal reparations challenges. The contributions of the late Dr. Bobby Wright in helping us assess this problem should be a continuous part of our study and reflection as we struggle to break the psychological chains of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. 4 years before Dr. Bobby Wright's untimely death in 1984, he wrote a profound article entitled "Menticide, the Ultimate Threat to the Black Race." In defining menticide, Dr. Wright explains that it is the deliberate and systematic destruction of a people or a group's mind, which may give a clue to why African people, after developing such an advanced civilization, has for the last 400 years been assisting in its own destruction and nearly total subjugation of Africa by foreign invaders. In an earlier work written in 1975, Dr. Wright entitled "The Psychopathic Racial Personality," he stated that in the relationship with Caucasians and Africans, Caucasians exhibit the behavior of psychopaths, and their behavior reflects an underlining biological transmitted precognitivity that is deeply rooted in their evolutionary history. Dr. Wright says, menticide is the ultimate goal of the behavior. Menticide is the ultimate goal of the behavior. Immediately following this program, of course, is Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. What does he talk about? The narratives that are consistently used to control our thinking and control our behavior. Menticide, a deliberate attempt to destroy a people's, a systematic destruction of a people or group's mind with the ultimate goal of extermination of that group. Any cursory examination of history will bear out and support the following incomprehensible traits of the Caucasian people, of Europeans. And Dr. Wright reveals in the terms of, number one, predatory behavior towards African people and their land, a predilection for senseless destruction of nature and people, and the ability to persuade African people to support and protect them against their own interests. You know, that's the part when you watch the old movies. You know, and it happened in other cultures. You know, I remember the movie Ganga Din. Didn't know it then because I was a young kid. But I began to realize it in the 60s and beyond to this day. You know, and they still make movies to some degree in that way. They still make movies where the Caucasian is somehow our savior. They still make movies where, even in Black Panther, you had the CIA. The CIA or whoever he was, the FBI, I don't give a, he was a Caucasian in the interest of America fighting, supposedly, to help Wakanda. Yeah. These key points described by Dr. Bobby Wright concerning the continued oppressive psychological condition of African people in the world indicates to me that our biggest challenge as a people is that of getting our minds straight and stopping menticide. It is the ultimate challenge. It is a challenge for right now. I just mentioned earlier, I don't advocate name changes. There have been some people who have been given beautiful names, names with meaning, named after individuals who did great things. But those individuals, because their mind is not right, have done heinous things, dastardly things. So before anything, it is the mind to purge yourself of ignorance, stupidity, to purge yourself of all the self-doubt and self-hatred. And understand, yes, you are an African. And you have a history that is glorious. It is not fairy tale. It is not myth. It is not allegory. It is real. but because of what Europeans have done to us. That's why I'm saying all the time, I don't hate us. I love us, but I do hate. And let me say this again. I don't hate anybody. I hate nobody. But what I do hate, and I hate with a passion, a system that Europeans have created, putting themselves in a top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position, because the world hates us. The world despises us. People go into Africa with the intent of ripping us off. They come into Africa and we treat them with respect. But when we go to their places, wherever it might be, in China, Japan, Arab countries, America, European countries, this hemisphere, whatever it is, we're disrespected, we're degraded, we're shunned. These key points described by Dr. Bobby Wright concerning the continued oppressive psychological conditions of African people in the world indicates to me that our biggest challenge as a people is that getting our minds straight and stopping genocide. Getting our minds straight requires that African people begin to relearn the African principle that renowned late historian Dr. Anderson Thompson has been discussing for the past 20 plus some years. According to Dr. Anderson Thompson, the African principle represents these standards, rules, laws, and customs which guide our behavior and which serve us as a foundation for all of our actions. Dr. Thompson continues by explaining that the African principle is the quality underlining the source of African value system. The gift from our Creator passes on to us through our ancestors. At this juncture in history, we as African people have the capacity to straighten our minds out without the help of anyone outside of our community. Sovereignty. It must be understood that African people have been under siege for more than 2,000 years by Europeans, Asians, and Arabs. The invasions, intrusions, theft, murder, pillaging, and the desecration and destruction of African lands, bodies and minds, and spirits over 2,000 years is the basis of our ongoing struggle for African liberation worldwide. In our efforts to straighten out our minds, the following revelation by Dr. Wright should be understood and internalized by all African people. Dr. Wright reveals that it is very clear that Europeans have developed a method whose basic purpose is to replace all indigenous cultures with their own. Therefore, Europeans, without any historical precedence, went forth into the civilized world and began to impose their culture on others, mainly through religion, literacy modalities, and military force. All roads lead to our unity. We must work together in organizing and mobilizing African people worldwide. All of our organizing strategies must lead to getting our minds straight and stopping menticide. Without this occurring, we will continue in our present state of mental stagnation and servitude to other people, which will ultimately, which will ultimately end to our existence. Brother Conrad World. It is up to us. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about the destruction of our people's minds. What do you say? We live in a very evil system. We live in a very evil world. You know, what's interesting is how we have educated Europeans. But as I stated to Jay, it is not in their evolutionary, it's not in their DNA to be humane, caring, and loving, and nurturing. It's not in their DNA because of their evolutionary development in that icebox made them selfish, callous, cold-hearted, greedy, murderous. They develop a system that Caucasians, even Caucasians who are poor, would not want to eradicate. When I saw that recently, about, I don't know, some many, many years ago, so I should say recent many years ago, that they were against redistribution of wealth. And I'm like, wow, really? It's okay for a small handful of people that have such tremendous amounts of wealth at the expense of all other people? Because in their mind, they too would like to be that person who has billions of dollars. I saw what the Walton family gets every hour from Walmart and what they pay all those workers. Many of the workers have to get federal benefits because they don't get paid properly, because the Walton family continues to get billions and billions. There has to be. And I don't give a damn if the world has a different economic system, but for African people, we have to have a new economic system. I know I'm part of Us Lifting Us, and in essence, it is a collective. It is a cooperative. And a cooperative model is the best model for us. But the reality is that in the world, a capitalistic model still is imposed. And many people, particularly Europeans, love that model because why? They can accumulate so much at the expense of so many. In order for capitalism to be what it is, a small group that want to have the excess that they have is at the expense of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. And when you look at the world, we're talking about billions. That 1%, these greedy son of a, they control 90% of the world's wealth. And you have places in the world that people are living in filth and squalor because of capitalism. And so they want you to believe that this is the greatest system ever devised. This system, this country has never been great, will never be great. You can't be great taking from somebody. You can't be great exercising genocide on people. You can't be great being murderous. You can't be great being liars and cheats and thieves. You can't be great. There's one thing that's very clear in my heart and in my mind about how this system is. That's why for me, I want to get out. I have no illusions about going to an African country and expecting some kind. No, I understand. European imperialism everywhere. And you see, because of the rise of fascism, the rise of conservatism, the rise where people want to maintain, you know, I've always bothered me, always will, that to somebody who's an African, American African would be a conservative. Just understanding the word itself and what the word itself means. And that you would want to do that, that you want to conserve the situation the way that it is, understanding that the way that it has been, that you have Europeans who are on top, who will control and dominate everything, and you want to conserve that for them. Or maybe because you got a slice, a small slice of that nasty ass pie, that you happy. Conservatives. I remember seeing some so-called black conservatives. Now, they black. They ain't African. That's for damn sure. Black conservatives. A real case of menticide. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. Blacks for Trump. This ain't when he ran in 2016. No, this is upcoming in 2020. I guess they bought into that. This is the best unemployment that we had since enslavement, huh? These are the best. This is the better unemployment number you've had since you've been enslaved, when you had full employment. And not understanding the dynamics of what they're talking about in terms of work, where you're not paid, particularly for us, because we're the last hired. And you have a lot of jobs that don't pay a livable wage. You can't afford housing. You can't afford rent. What the Caucasian has been very masterful at doing is creating an illusion. And of course, we continue to buy into it because we don't have our minds strong enough to separate ourselves. That's why this program exists. That's why Brother Franklin talks about what he does. That's why Brother Elliot and Brother Richard talk about what they do. We are trying to work on the minds of our people to get them to understand the conditions that within will only change when our minds change. But they will get worse if they don't. And not just here, but globally. Europeans imposed their culture on the world. It was never any. Integration means that you have what you have, I have what I have, and we bring it together. We integrate it. There was never any integration. It was about assimilation. You assimilate into what I dictate. You assimilate into what I dictate. There was never no integration. And in that assimilation process, I am this and you are that. There might be a few of you who I will allow. So to give you the illusion that there is inclusion, to give you the perception that yes, you too can be a part of this. If you work hard, study harder. I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, it will never change. There is nothing that we can do. Remember, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they are superior. And no amount of evidence, which there is a plethora of, will make them change their mind about their own superiority. There ain't a damn thing that we can say or do. They suffer from European Caucasian fragility. They don't want to hear about the evilness that they've done. They want to believe that they came here to this country. They didn't kill nobody. They came here to this country and whoever was here in their mind said just a few people here or there. So this land was open for the taking. They didn't come here to bargain with anybody, to trade with anybody. No, they came and took it and began to erase and eradicate human beings like they did everywhere else. And then the justification is the ends. Well, look how great America is. Look how beautiful the cities are. Look at the advancements in technology that we have created. So basically, that justifies the subjugation of humanity by us because we're the most intelligent. That justifies them imposing their culture on all others at their expense. And many, unfortunately, have taken that to eliminate their own culture, to be artificial Europeans. That's why when I see African people coming with their suit and ties on, I'm talking about Africans on the continent. I understand Africans here in America, but I'm talking about Africans on the continent. So the work that we have to do as African men and women who believe in Africa and believe in Africans as I do, could wish for us to wake up, to stop the mentalcidal process that is ongoing. It has never stopped. The moment Europeans, and see, what's interesting, and I listening to John G. Jackson, one of our great scholars and warrior scholars and historians, I was listening to John G. Jackson, and he was talking about how we educated Europeans multiple times when they came down to sit at the feet of African people in Kemet. And then later came in Kemet's waning moments and took it over and began to even paint the walls. That's why some people have a conflict about, you know, that Kemet, Egypt, of course, is a Greek word. How they put that word as opposed to Kemet. I'm glad. I'm just so glad that, you know, that the Medu Netcher could be read. Okay, I'll admit that Champollion, Frenchman, was able to do that. But it opened up a lot of information. It exposed the truth of who and what we are as African people and exposed them for the thieves and liars that they are. So we taught them then. And then we taught them many times after Kemet and civilized them after their civilizations had went down from the Greeks to the Romans, went into the Dark Age, and we taught them again with the Moors in the western part of Asia or Europe, and we taught them again. And then they kicked us out in 1492, and then they began to feel themselves, and once again the arrogance and the attitude, and went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. Brothers and sisters, don't forget the program on Wednesday. 9/11, let the truth be told. I hope you'll be able to join us and have others join as well. I know the charade will still happen. They'll have all kind of people out, memorials and singing and all that kind of stuff. Believe me. If there ever was an inside job, if there ever was something that was done by the government of this country against its people, it was that. And have you believe that a small handful of people did that? You got to be kidding. So please join Wednesday for 9/11. Let the truth be told. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening. Let's get our minds right. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Fahodia. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Fahodia. Peace, family.